Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Johnston, head coach here at High Thrive Coaching. Welcome to our weekly podcast. This week, we are talking all about the secrets to reconnect with your spouse. And, you know, I want to start off by saying, okay, first off, there's not going to be any sort of magic wand or magic bullet that I'm going to give you. Not going to happen. Still, I do want you to listen in today because what I'm going to have to say will absolutely help. Now, I'm assuming many of you are in a rough situation, looking desperately for some way to build connection when it's been lost, and we're absolutely going to get to that. I always like when I'm working with people, when I'm sharing information, I always like to set things straight, sometimes to be very straightforward, be a little bit blunt. And so I'm going to just say, like I said, while I'm not going to offer any magic bullets, I am going to offer you paths forward. I'm going to be teaching you about principles that you really need to keep in mind in order to really allow for that reconnection to happen. But before we get to that, I do want to get into our client win of the week. You know, with these, we always change the names up for privacy's sake. But, you know, I have Gregory here who had posted in the group. And you know, like many of you, Gregory had experienced his wife telling him that she no longer loves him, that expressing that they should separate. And what Gregory was able to do, you know, after looking through our program, he said, okay, I need to let go of this a bit. And I need to just, you know, be a little bit more at ease, certainly work on it, but just be a lot more at ease than he had already been. And recently, he had a weekend with his wife where, because of the ease that had been created, they're really able to open up with each other. And there's a lot of honesty, a lot came out. And, you know, even with all that difficulty, Gregory was able to express to her that he still loved her, he's still able to support her, still wanted to be there for her. And it's at that moment that she broke down and the relationship was able to make a big turnaround. A lot of, you know, to the point where she's actually seeking out help, wanting to fix things. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about today, you know, why I'm bringing this up. And, you know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. What might seem like a sudden turnaround was really a lot of setup in the background, a lot of background work. And you know, this is gonna, a lot of you will see similar situations where there's a lot of work done and you don't see a lot of progress until suddenly something clicks and a very sudden change happens, just like what happened with Greg. So if you wanna hear about how to get started on some of that, how to build the framework to get that sudden change, that's what we're gonna talk a little bit about today, that building up of connection. I'm just checking in on a couple things here. All right. So we're going to break this down into four tips. And we're just going to go through them one by one here. My first tip, my first secret, so to speak, is to let go. I want you all to let go. Many of you are clamping down so hard on your relationship that any small setback, any small problem turns into a huge ordeal. I will sometimes hear, I'll hear clients, they'll come in and I'll ask them for an update and they'll say, okay, well, my husband or my wife, they did speak to me this weekend and they gave me a hug. Is that some sign that they're turning things around? Or they'll say, my spouse walked away from a conversation. Does this mean that they're done? And this anxiety, this sense of unease doesn't do you any favors. Now, I will say I do understand it. Hey everyone. Hey Crystal, glad to see you here. I do understand where you're coming from with this. I mean, if my wife Jen were to tell me that she was considering leaving the marriage, that would be devastating. And I would want to do everything that I can. I'd be combing over our conversations. I'm saying I don't know if I would do much better. I get the panic because many of you so want to fix your marriage, to get to that point where you can be comfortable with each other, to feel like you're in love with each other. I get that. The problem is if you're trying to restore love, no one falls in love under duress. You know, if when they're pressured into it, if they're pushed towards it. I want you all to think about, you know, a hypothetical scenario. Let's say that you know, think back to the time when you were dating your spouse. And if they themselves were extremely sensitive in the relationship, and they're like, well, and you maybe you greeted them one time, they said to you, why do you say it like that? Are you considering leaving me? Are you wanting to break up right now? That would raise some red flags. Is it would create this feeling here that you need to like walk on eggshells, that you need to be extremely careful about what you're saying in order to not upset the balance. And that's just not a scenario that's going to allow for many good feelings. I'm seeing what some of the comments here. People are saying letting go is hard. But at the same time, we have a comment here that's saying letting go is freeing. And I think the best way to get to that point is to have to come to like a you know, to work through this yourself to the point where you can say, I'm going to be okay no matter what. This doesn't mean, you know, that you're letting go of the relationship, or it doesn't mean that you're letting go of important boundaries. It doesn't mean that you're not holding people accountable, or that you're letting go of values or anything like that. It simply means that you let go of things needing to change right this very moment. You know, that's one part. And the other part is you're saying, as I mentioned, you're saying to yourself, I'm going to be okay no matter what the outcome here. I'm reminded slightly of a principle within the philosophy of the law of attraction. I happen to like what's called the law of attraction. If you're not familiar, it's essentially, if everyone remembers the big sensational book and movie some years ago, what's it called, The Secret. I don't think I read it myself. I didn't read it myself. I came into it from other avenues. But yeah, that The Secret basically talks about the law of attraction. But within it, there is a sub principle called the law of gestation, which basically says, hey, everything is going to take its own time. And that trying to force things to move along quicker isn't going to do you any good. Sometimes an analogy of a seed or of a tree comes to mind. Say, hey, if you plant the tree, you can wish and want all you want for it to grow faster, but it's probably not going to grow faster. Some of you are saying, I've let go so much that I no longer care. And that's, you know, ideally not where you're getting at. You know, I that obviously is going to create problems itself. Mostly it's getting to the point where you say, I would still like to be with this person. I'm going to be okay, even if they don't want to be with me. And I think that's the ideal circumstance if your spouse is considering leaving, such that you are still working towards it, but you're confident enough in yourself if it doesn't go your way. Why does this build reconnection? It's like I said, you can't fall in love under duress and with a stressful, hypersensitive, you know, it just doesn't work. I see a lot of people saying you need to focus on yourself, and I do agree with that. Focusing on making sure that you feel healthy in and of yourself, I think, is an ideal circumstance because many, you know, we get into so many other principles talking about that, but you know, for many of my clients, I tell them, hey, work on yourself, make sure that you are healthy. If this happens to make the other person uncomfortable, such that they want to make bigger changes, so be it. Let go. Second principle here is about creating understanding. Connection is extremely difficult when you don't feel understood. When couples start to come apart, it can become very easy to get defensive, think of your own needs, or possibly maybe even you're just focusing on the needs of your children. But, you know, why though would your spouse pull away is the question that you want to ask yourself. You know, why would it make sense? Why would they possibly want to do that? If you can only think of how this will hurt, whether it's you or children or other anyone else, you haven't given this enough thought. And somewhere in there is likely a very legitimate reason to pull back, even if it's something that you disagree with. Until your spouse's position can be appreciated in some way, shape, or form, you're likely going to continue to see large amounts of resistance and pullback. This is, you know, just strictly because there's a principle here. If you have goals that are clashing against each other and there's very little crossing over to understand the other person's perspective, people aren't going to, you know, they're not going to cooperate with you. I will tell clients this all the time, that common goals removes resistance. You know, if I want to, you know, if my wife were to want to leave and I'm saying, please stay, every time that we come to this point of a discussion, it's going to create a clash. But if I can say, hey, you know what? I can see that you are upset. I can see here even that why you might think separating might cause some happiness. I bet it would probably provide you with a lot of relief in terms of having to think about problems every day. By creating some of this understanding, it can also open up some new avenues for solutions here. Because if I'm saying, I understand you, you're trying to escape some stress, maybe it doesn't have to come to a separation. Maybe other solutions can present themselves. And if you understand exactly what your spouse is looking for, it becomes so much easier to find common goals, things that you both want. And even if that common goal is something much lower, much smaller than something like reconciliation, at least you can get to a point where you're cooperating and connecting a little bit. At least you're getting to a point where you can say, we're solving some problems together. And the possibility to expand from there becomes much greater. The third secret here is to create space for the relationship. Make yourself available. While I am saying that you should focus on yourself, that you should focus on yourself, you should be healthy, there needs to be some ability for there to be an open door for the relationship. You know, I don't think many of you will be surprised, but you know, I hear so many cases when I first start talking to people, start off something like this. They say, well, we started working opposite schedules and then we grew apart, or we stopped going on dates and then, you know, or we don't really have any shared hobbies. And so, you know, or our interests aren't really compatible, and on and on and on. Essentially, when things like this start to happen, spending time together becomes difficult. It's a chore. If you're having to push past obstacles every time that you want to connect, it's no wonder that you're not going to connect, especially if you add in other stressful components into the relationship, like children, like separation, like arguments and whatnot. Now, I'm not saying here that you sit around the house and make sure that you're waiting for your husband or wife for them to, you know, jump at your call. Not at all what I'm saying. You know, I think the ideal stance to take in something like this is to help your spouse to understand that you are available, that you would like to be with them, that you would like to connect with them, but that you are going to go out and take care of yourself regardless. This is going back to that letting go principle. You know, I'm seeing some comments here saying, I've made myself available, but he's so disconnected. And this is going to be a lot more. We're going to connect a lot of these principles here of letting go, that law of gestation. It might, you know, the person who commented that, it might not click the first time you make an invitation. it might not register that moment when you say, I really would like to be with you, but I'm going to go out and have some fun regardless. But like I said, sometimes a lot of the work is done in the background and we see a sudden change here. And certainly, you know, you run the risk of sending some mixed messages if, for instance, you at some point say to yourself, well, fine, if they don't want to be with me, then I don't want to be with them, and you really push them away. I'll give you an example in a healthy relationship. So my wife and I, you know, we often try to create space for our relationship. And most every evening we are spending time together. At the same time, we do let go of our relationship a little bit. There's times when I say, you know, I really need an evening to myself, and that's perfectly fine. Other times I'll say, you know, I really want to do this thing that would interest me. You know, my wife and I will play games together, or we'll watch movies together. And I'll say, I really want to watch this movie. It would really mean a lot to me. But you know, if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm expressing here an interest in being with you, because I really like being with you. This is creating space for the relationship. And my wife then is free to choose to join me in that situation. Most of the time she does. And it feels great. And other times she doesn't, because I am, you know, I have some understanding that she has her own needs, her own interests, and she might not always join me. But by creating space and then putting the invitation out there, it allows for us the opportunity to connect. I have pushed aside obstacles, you know, at least one more obstacle here, to allow for there to be some connection. And my wife will do the same to me. You know, my wife really enjoys those romantic comedies. I might not always be interested in them, but if she expresses that she is really excited about that, about watching a certain movie, and say, I would really like to spend some time with you and share this experience. You know, she's creating some space. We're using the same principle, just perhaps in less healthy circumstances. And as I said, you might hear the train in the background. I live right by a wonderful looking river, Susquehanna River. It's a great view. I love going down there, but it doesn't have the detraction of a railroad that goes right along the river. Anyways, people are asking here, what about when they're having an affair? you had to complicate the matter with questions like that. Quite frequently, I mean, this is going to depend from situation to situation and how bad the affair is, how much the partner engaged in the affair still wants the relationship, you know, whether there is really terrible act of damage going on, you know, which an affair usually will cause. It really depends on the situation. Some clients I tend to look at this in terms of like a carrot and stick sort of situation. You know, do you offer a lot of support and care and creating space, or do you set boundaries and make sure that there's respect? And that's going to depend situation to situation. So in terms of creating space when there's an affair going on, I will say that in trying to repair affairs, it is oftentimes helpful to describe or to allow a path forward, even if the partner isn't taken, even if you are setting boundaries and if you are, you know, really making sure that you're respecting yourself. It's important to allow some path forward, even if it's under certain conditions. That's what I would say in that sort of circumstance. The last secret, the last tip would be to be more open and vulnerable in positive ways. Connection in many cases is emotional at its roots. Certainly there are other types of connection. You know, there is that physical connection and that emotional connection. And, you know, I really love talking with my wife on an intellectual level. And that feels very different than other types of connection. You know, I like sharing ideas with her and discussing theories and whatnot. But, you know, in many cases, it is about being more open in the ways that you do want to connect. Many times a couple pulling apart has much, much more consistent negative interactions and negative feelings and, negative jabs at each other. And because of this, it is extremely important, if you are trying to build up connection, to be able to know and acknowledge moments that you genuinely feel connected. You feel good, you feel valued, you feel respected, and to point those out. It's really easy to skip over those moments. It's really easy to ignore those moments, say, and discount it, say, well, this isn't how it normally is. This is them, trying to butter me up, or, it's really easy to assume the worst. It also isn't helpful. I remember a point, and I might have shared this story before. I remember a point in my marriage when there was a lot of stress in my life. I was going to grad school, and I had a full-time job, and I had another job on the side, and we also had just had our third child, and Jen and I were not connecting well at all. We just weren't. And we came to each other a bit annoyed, a bit upset. We're like, this just isn't working very well. And we were both also surprised at how much the other person cared about that connection and how much effort we were actually each putting into it and not recognizing it. What I'm saying is that when that stress ramps up, it's really hard to recognize those positive efforts in your spouse. And you know what got us through that? Is we started being much more vocal and explicit when we noticed efforts, or when we ourselves were trying to, put in some effort into the marriage. Because of this, we started recognizing how much we both cared about each other. It became really easy to have a lot of those positive feelings for connection. And it just, I know a lot of this goes out the window when there is tension and stress and other problems. And you can't let that go. Even if it's a bit of an effort, even if you have to say, you know what? I know we've been having a lot of tension and I've been pointing out a lot of faults, but I want to make sure that I am noticing moments when things are going well. You might hear me talk about this, and it's, I'm only going to talk about when I really genuinely feel good with you. You might need a bit of a preface like that, but I can guarantee you that it will make an impact on feeling more connected. So those are the four secrets. I'm going to just pull back the curtain a bit. I'm going to say, sometimes we label things like this in this business, the four secrets, the four magic ingredients and whatnot. And like I said, nothing is going to be a magic bullet here. But I do think that these tips, these principles will take you much further than if you're doing the opposite, like in many cases is happening when there is a lot of fighting going on in a marriage. So before we get into our marriage myth buster here, I do want to call attention to some changes that we've been making with our program. Recently, we have been really trying to make things much more accessible for everyone, anyone that's wanting some help. And with that in mind, we have made some adjustments to our online path program, meaning the program, like where you go in and watch videos. Previously, it was a do-it-yourself, it was a self-study course. But, we've heard some feedback, and we wanted to make sure that everyone gets as much help as they are, as we're able to give them. So with that in mind, we have started a new direction with the self-study course, such that we wanted to include some extra exercises in there, and that as long as those exercises are completed and submitted, we want to make sure that we are talking with you directly. So added on to the self-study course, anyone who purchases it from here forward will be receiving a one-on-one session with our team to help plan out your recovery, to help get you started on the right path. So anyone that is interested in that, you can go to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com. If you're looking for that, just that little boost, a little bit of direction in where you need to go, please check it out. I think we've kept the price, I believe. So check out our website and you can sign up there. Now, for our myth buster, I'm going to circle right around back to what I've been saying all along. There, you know, the myth here is that there are secret tips or magical actions that will turn everything around in the event of a problem. You know, some people are saying, will say, my wife, my husband is mad at me. So what do I need to do? Do I need to get them flowers? Do I need to, you know, just give them 30 days space? Is that going to turn things around? And I'm going to say that this idea here, that there's a single action at any point that will turn things around, you know, in the event of a marriage crisis, in, you know, an event where your marriage, the ongoing continuation of your marriage is at stake. If you're at that point, it's very unlikely that a single action will turn things around immediately. That myth is false. The truth of the matter is often that there is a lot of work needed in the background before real change occurs. Now, where this myth comes from is this phenomenon that people see. They say, well, I did all this work, and then, you know, I gave them those flowers that one time and everything immediately turned around. And I would contend that all the work ahead of time was much more important than the single act of, say, in this hypothetical example of giving flowers. Almost every instance of success that I have seen in a situation where, you know, like, yes, change does happen suddenly, but it's because a lot of groundwork has been laid ahead of time. You know, the client that I'm working with has been consistent. They've made changes. They've gone to, you know, anger management. They've stopped drinking. And then at some point things click and the spouse says, you know what? I'm not ready to be done with this anymore. And then you see the sudden change. What this means is that people will often see a lot of setbacks, a lot of resistance, a lot of doubt, and then see some turnaround. What this also means, though, is that I don't necessarily give up on situations. And that quite often pushing a little bit longer, a little bit further, while remaining healthy yourself and letting go and all the things that we're talking about today, maybe it just takes a little bit longer, a little bit more being consistent, a little bit more action in the background before you tip the scales, before you get past that threshold. And I think a lot of people do give up or stop trying new methods or stop trying new avenues a little too soon. And that many relationships probably could be fixed if people persisted a little bit longer or tried a few other approaches. So if you yourself are feeling a bit lost and you're not sure how to proceed or what new approaches to try, let us know. Put it in the comments. We will reach out to you and we'll see if we can make, you know, get you some support that you need here. We're always looking for new clients. You know, I will admit, yes, we've become busy, but we're always hiring new people. We're always looking for more clients and we're growing essentially. So we have availability to help everyone that wants to get some help here. So if you're wanting some help, please comment and put in the comments that you're looking for some help and support. We'll have someone reach out to you. Yeah, otherwise, you can also, you know, we are human. Sometimes we miss some comments. And, you know, if you are really serious about this, go to our website. Either sign up for the self-study course, or if you're really serious, you know, you can always go to www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply, and you can get immediately in contact with someone from our team to evaluate whether our program would be a good fit for you. All right, so that's all I have here. Thank you for listening, everyone. I will be, of course, here back next week. Hopefully we'll have Heather rejoining us. You know, she's been through the ringer a bit with, you know, of course, having a new child and caring for that child. But, you know, she's expressed to me that she doesn't want to get back involved with these podcasts. So hopefully we'll see her next week. But until then, good luck, everyone. Let us know how we can help.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.